Now we're going to move on to the induction part of the service, and I'm going to invite the clerk of the Skye and West Ross Presbytery just to read a story, a narrative of how we got to this point of inducting Dan. Thank you, John.
The congregation of Pellew and Alt Bay became vacant on 30th August 2014 with the induction of the Reverend Jeremy E. Ross to Dunfermline. On the 1st October 2014, the Home Missions Board passed their suscitation fund schedule and granted the congregation permission to call a minister according to the terms of Act 1, Class 1, 2013. At subsequent meetings, the congregation and presbytery unanimously agreed to call the Reverend Daniel Patterson to be pastor of this congregation. Presbytery agreed to meet this evening to induct the Reverend Daniel Patterson to the pastorate of Pellew and Alt Bay Free Church of Scotland. Moderator, I move that the following ministerial brethren who are present with us this evening be associated with the presbytery, and that if they would come forward for the prayer of induction. That's just after after Jeremy signs the formula.
Jeremy.
Sorry. just after Daniel signs the formula. So if you would come forward then and associate yourself with the presbytery. The Reverend Dr. Professor John L. Mangtush, the Reverend Dr. John S. Ross, the Reverend Angus McCrae, Reverend Colin MacLeod, Reverend Jeremy E. Ross, Reverend Callum Honda MacMillan, Reverend Neil Lachy MacDonald, the Reverend David Kirk, and if there are any others, ministerial brethren present that I can't see, then would you just come forward with the rest and offer the right hand of fellowship to Daniel. I'm sorry if I missed anybody out, but it's the sun.
A few folk broke out in a sweat there, didn't they, when John said Jeremy, eh? Yeah. Right, we're going to come now to the questions relating to the induction. Do you want to just stand where you are, Dan? Are you quite happy? Yeah?
Yeah, come forward.
You want to come forward?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, better come forward. Just come in here. Do you want to just maybe stand down in there? Aye, there's more room there. Right. Okay. For those of you who haven't seen him yet, this is Reverend Dan Patterson, who is about to become minister of this congregation. And all that I said that was good about him a minute ago is definitely true, and I know that you're going to hold him in great affection. But first of all, he's got to get some questions right. Dan, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God and the only rule of faith and manners? Do you sincerely own and believe the whole doctrine contained in the Confession of Faith, proven by former General Assemblies of this Church, to be founded upon the Word of God? And do you acknowledge the same as the confession of your faith? And will you firmly and constantly adhere thereto, and to the utmost of your power, assert, maintain, and defend the same, and the purity of worship as presently practiced in this Church?
Yes.
Do you disown all Popish, Arian, Socinian, Arminian, Erastian, and other doctrines, tenets, and opinions whatsoever contrary to and inconsistent with the foresaid Confession of Faith? Are you persuaded that the Presbyterian government and discipline of this Church are founded upon the Word of God and agreeable thereto? And do you promise to submit to the said government and discipline and to concur with the same, and not to endeavour directly or indirectly the prejudice or subversion thereof, but to the utmost of your power in your station to maintain, support and defend the said discipline and Presbyterian government by Kirk Sessions, Presbyteries, Provincial Synods and General Assemblies?
Yes.
Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, as King and Head of the Church, has therein appointed a government in the hands of Church officers, distinct from and not subordinate in its own province to civil government, and that the civil magistrate does not possess jurisdiction or authoritative control over the regulation of the affairs of Christ Church? And do you approve of the general principles embodied in the claim, declaration and protest adopted by the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland in 1842, and in the protest of ministers and elders, commissioners from presbyteries to the General Assembly, read in the presence of the Royal Commissioner on 18th May 1843, as declaring the views which are sanctioned by the Word of God and the standards of this Church with respect to the spirituality and freedom of the Church of Christ and her subjection to Him as her only head and to His Word as her only standard? Yes. Do you promise to submit yourself willingly and humbly in the spirit of meekness unto the admonitions of the brethren of this presbytery, and to be subject to them and all other presbyteries and superior judicatories of this church, where God in His providence shall cast your lot, and that according to your power you shall maintain the unity and peace of this church against error and schism, notwithstanding of whatsoever trouble or persecution may arise, and that you shall follow no divisive courses from the doctrine, worship, discipline and government of this church?
Yes, I do.
Are not zeal for the honour of God, love to Jesus Christ, and desire of saving souls your great motives and chief inducements to enter into the function of the holy ministry, and not worldly designs and interests? Dan, have you used any undue methods, either by yourself or others, in procuring this call?
No.
Do you engage in the strength and grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, to rule well your own family, to live a holy and circumspect life, and faithfully, diligently and cheerfully to discharge all the parts of the ministerial work to the edification of the body of Christ? And finally, do you accept of and close with the call to be pastor of this congregation, and promise through grace to perform all the duties of a faithful minister of the gospel among this people?
My whole heart I do.
Amen. Now Dan is going to just sign what is effectively a pledge in connection with all these vows he's taken, what we call the formula, in which it says that he asserts, maintains and defends the doctrine and worship and discipline and government of this church. Okay. Now we're going to pray for Dan. Maybe you probably need to come up here now, Dan. And those brethren that were mentioned and any others, please come forward just now. Can you stand there, Don? Okay. Right, let's pray together for Don. Yeah? Yes. Can we all stand, please, for this prayer? Yes. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the King and the Head of the Church, and we worship you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that it is you who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach maturity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, our triune God, we worship you and we praise you that you are building your church. We praise you, Lord, that you are calling people to Jesus in faith and hope and love. And we praise you, Lord, that you are calling people to provide leadership in your church. We thank you for the ministry of the apostles and of the prophets that we have benefited from tonight through the words that they wrote and the truth that they imparted to us. And we thank you for the faith that is once delivered to the saints, that faith which is precious, wonderful to declare, which is life and joy and hope to this world, that Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And we praise and worship you that tonight that gospel is being preached in Westeros and here in the communities of Pulieu and in Barrasdale and Old Bay and all the different areas round about. We praise and worship you for all that has gone on in the past in the work of your church. We do indeed thank you so much for Jeremy and Fiona and their work here in the past. As also, Lord, for previous ministries, for Dr. McIntosh here and going back, many others who have laid foundations and who have faithfully brought your word. And Heavenly Father, we now pray that as we look forward, seeking to do your will, that your anointing will rest most powerfully and effectively upon Dan here. Heavenly Father, as we induct him in your name, in the name of Jesus, to this charge of Pulieu and Old Bay Free Church, we pray, Heavenly Father, that he will find that you are equipping him for everything that he has been called to do here, and that he will know, Lord, that you're raising him above the level of the natural, above the level of what his gifts are in the flesh, that you're raising him up to a level in the spirit that is far beyond what human beings can do on their own, and that he will know, Lord, that you're doing great things through him. We ask then for your Holy Spirit to come, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, to come and rest with a fresh, a new anointing upon Dan. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that along with the rest of the team of believers in this community, in this area, he will see great things happening. We pray your blessing on Penny and on Fox and Ace. We pray they will be happy in this community, that they will rejoice in the fellowship of your people, that they will also rejoice in the community itself, in this beautiful environment around here, that they will love the whole situation here, and that their hearts will be deeply, deeply knit with the people. And we ask, Father, that the whole community will open its hearts and its arms wide open to receive not only Dan and Penny and their family, but also the gospel. And that, God, you will do glorious things to the praise and honour of your name. So, Lord, we set Dan apart and we pray your name be glorified, your will be done. Father, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we submit ourselves now to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, Dan, it's a great pleasure that I can now, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the alone King and Head of the Church, and in the name of the Presbytery of Skye and Westeros, admit you to the pastoral charge of the Free Church Congregation of Pulieu and Alt Bay. And in token of this, I extend to you, brother, the right hand of fellowship. May God attend your labours with great blessing and to the glory of his name, now and always. Amen. Right, you can all return to your seats now. Dan, you better stand down there again. Now you've got two Alistair MacLeods for the price of one coming up. Alistair MacLeod, Minister in Gairloch, is going to address Dan first of all, and Alistair MacLeod, Minister in Ullapo, who's been your interim moderator, is going to address you as a congregation. So, Alistair Gairloch first of all.
Thank you, Roddy, moderator, for your sermon. Can I just say how much of a privilege it is, Dan, to have been called to address you by the presbytery here. I didn't expect to have to do this, but I felt that I was constrained to do it for a few reasons, not least because I knew your grandfather, David Patterson, very well. That goes back a few years, and I owe much to him at a time of great personal great need for myself and my family in Perth. If I can just say, I think I detect a little bit of David Patterson intonation in your voice when you speak. I'm pretty sure of that. But can I congratulate you on your induction to the congregation? And I just want to give you a few words of advice, not from myself. Encouragement, yes, it could be from me, but I want to go to God's word for that, because that's what I and all of us need to get, all the encouragement we can get. You're now minister of this congregation, and you're primarily, the word minister means that you're a servant of the Lord, servant of God and his word. You're in a sense, as the minister of the congregation, you're not the king here, but you're first in a sense amongst equals, as we heard Roddy speak about a team here. You'll be chairing meetings and so on, and that's a huge responsibility. You're a leader amongst leaders, but you're not a one-man band, and I suppose you have to bear that in mind. Sometimes it's difficult for us to get away from that. You have your own responsibilities, but you're a team leader, and as the minister, you're an important part of the team. I think that goes without saying, like the captain, if you like, of the team here. Yet it is still a team. I want to give you just a couple of words of advice based on what Paul said to Titus. I love Titus. I love how Paul speaks to him regarding looking after the people over whom he was to minister God's word in Crete. Two things, two T words I'm going to use, just I'll try and keep this brief. Teach. It's interesting how the apostle writing to Titus uses this word teach very often, particularly in Titus chapter 2. And the very first sentence in that chapter virtually encapsulates it all. Teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. And I don't think it's by coincidence that what I'm saying to you just now seems to me to dovetail well into what Roddy was talking about God's will earlier on. And in a very real sense, that's what you are to do as you come into this congregation as their minister. You're to teach what is healthy doctrine, teaching that is based on the word of God. And that, as Roddy said earlier on, that's where we find God's will. You'll find it there for yourself, you'll find it there for your family, and you'll find it there for the congregation as well. And all your teaching must be founded on God's word as he enables you with the gifts that you have been given. And of course, if you are going to teach, you have to be informed. You have to have something to give in terms of teaching, and that means you'll need to spend time informing yourself of the good things that God wants you to deliver to the people. You have to familiarize yourself with God's will and taking from his word what you are to serve to the people around you. And you know, it's beautifully summarized for us in the second chapter of Titus, encapsulated again in Titus chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, and verses 4 to 7 of chapter 3 of Titus, speaking about the kindness and the love of God, our Saviour. This is what Paul said to Titus. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This is the crux of his teaching, and it has to be. I think the most important thing is that you find time for yourself to familiarize yourself with the root of our teaching, the crux of our teaching, and that's, of course, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's revealed to us in the Scripture. And time to do that has to be tops in priority. I think that for going into the study, this is not what Paul says literally to Titus, but in my own experience I've found that the morning hours are the best for that, the early part of the day. And in conjunction with that, I think one has to be careful to balance your time. Your teaching is important for your congregation, as Paul mentions to Titus here. It's interesting how all the different layers, if you like, of the congregation, men and women, old men, old women, young and old, and children are mentioned here in Titus's letter. I think you're a coffee connoisseur. Am I right? Yeah, I gathered that. And I think that it can be used actually as a metaphor. If the principles which Paul instructed Titus to follow are realized by you, it's actually like making a good cup of coffee. In this way, as the hot water, the Spirit of God, carries the coffee essence down into the vessel, this will filter through, down through the various layers. If we take that as a metaphor for your teaching of God's word and your living by example, as Paul says to Titus as well, you will give a refreshing spiritual drink to those in the community around you. You will feed the flock, and the flock will go out into the community. That is the biblical way, is it not? So every time you make a coffee, think of that. Teach by example. I'm not going to say much about this, but it is your teaching, as I've already hinted, that is going to filter down. And you're teaching in your practical behavior, the way people see you in the community. It is important. And what you have to do is, by God's grace, to cultivate a Christ-like compassion for the people around you, for the congregation. I think it goes without saying that each of us has to be like that. But in your situation, your particular position, you'll be in the spotlight quite a lot as to how you conduct yourself. And God will enable you to live as he would have you, as you leave yourself at his disposal. But that doesn't mean that you have to change your personality. Be yourself. Be Dan. And ask the Lord to make you a Dan who is like the Lord Jesus Christ in a compassionate way as you relate to other people. I'm going to finish with this. Time is at a premium for everybody, but for you in particular it will be. And to use it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of learning. Your time will be in demand from various directions, and your congregation will be looking for your time. There will be various duties as the minister of the congregation. You'll be flooded with emails from time to time from someone who will not be named right now. The phone, whether it's mobile or landline, deadlines to meet, visits to make, and so it goes on. Learn to prioritize for yourself and say no when you have to say no. You learn how to say no. Sometimes it's not easy. But no has to be said sometimes. You can only be in one place at one time. Time for yourself in preparation and all of that. But make time for your family. It's great to be to get your acquaintance, your wife's Penny's acquaintance, and the boys as well. And I hope that'll develop with us as time goes on. I'm privileged to be the neighbouring minister, and I'm sure we'll have time to get to know each other better as time goes on. Talking about making time for your family, your closest counsellor is Penny. And the penny will drop someday. Listen to her when she speaks to you. She's your loved one, your friend, your partner, your wife, the mother of your children. We thank the Lord for our wives, those of us who are in ministry. They're a huge, huge support to us. That goes without saying. Don't take your health for granted. Find time for recreation. The moderator will give you a few tips on that, I think. I don't know if you're into mountain biking or whatever, but don't take your health for granted. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay, fragile. And I know something about that personally. As a team member, we're ready to ask for guidance. You've got a good team here, right enough. Good men. I know that because part of my team as well. We work closely together. They're elders who are wise and experienced in the spiritual oversight of a congregation. They know what they're about and they walk with the Lord. I'm leaving it there. One final word. Paul to Timothy. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, that is, a preacher of the good news. Do the work of an evangelist and discharge all the duties of your ministry by the grace of God. Dan. God bless you.
Thanks for that, Alistair. Dan gets a seat, which is good. Friends, it's good to be here. It's a great day on a great day. And I want to share a few words with you as one of my final duties as your interim moderator. I want to share with you something of what Danny and I shared with the Inverness Presbytery when we went on your behalf to try and request them to release Dan to come to the West here, to come to Pulliuen Albain. I began that evening by kind of sharing with the Inverness Presbytery something of how I kind of got tired of writing Pulliuen Albain in full in emails after about the 15th one. And everything from that point onwards became P&A. It was just Pulliuen Albain, P&A. And that's how it's been for the past 8 or 9 months. And yet in that kind of initials, these letters there, I think we find something I hope very simple, succinct, for us to move forward this evening, to learn what it is before God, as we are focusing on knowing God's will, to be passive and to be active as a congregation, because every congregation needs both. Let me see about being passive. When I use the word passive, I'm not meaning that we're kind of emotionless, because we're West Coasters and we're not emotionless. And I don't mean that we're kind of submissive and we just kind of let things happen. What I mean is that we are literally non-active. And there is a time for every congregation to cease from activity in order to wait upon God. Roddy has very helpfully reminded us this evening of the need for us to know God's will. Given the frenetic nature of many of our family lives, many of our work lives, the temptation that we can easily fall into is that frenetic busyness kind of comes into our congregational life. And a busy church equals a healthy church? Well, not always. Because there is a time for a congregation to be still and to know their God. There is a time for us to be passive, to wait, to pray, to meditate, to learn, to know what it is to know God's will. And so as you embark in this new phase in the congregation's history, there will be times for you to be passive. Now what will that look like? Well, we will be taking opportunities to make sure that we are in the place where we will know and learn God's will. We will be in the occasions of worship on a Sunday. Notice I said those occasions, there's more than one. We will be in the meetings for prayer and for Bible study. We will be coming apart from the busyness at home, the busyness at work, to wait as the people of God upon God and upon His Word. And so we make the most of every opportunity God gives to us to be in the place where God has promised to meet us in a special way. Every congregation needs to know an opportunity and a reminder to be passive. But it's not just P. That wasn't the only initial in all these hundreds of emails. It was P and A. And so while there is a time to be passive, there is also a time to be active. And it's on the basis of being passive to know God's will that we become active to do God's will. It's on the basis of having been spiritually charged and recharged and refocused and re-energized and filled with that fresh zeal for the glory of God in this community that we go out, therefore, and live as the people of God in this place. And there's much activity in this congregation. There's much spiritual and practical care to young and old, both in the congregation and in the community. There's an evangelistic outreach zeal that there is in the congregation. There's a desire to kind of meet with God's people wherever they are in the community and to show the unity of the Spirit in the gospel. And so there is an activity that will be present in God's people. I said, you know, a busy church is a healthy church. Well, not always. Not if that busyness is just for the sake of busyness. But if that busyness and that activity is on the basis of having been passive, having come into contact with what God's will is, then the activity will then flow. As having knowing God's will, we will seek to do God's will. You've got a pastor now over you who will pray for you, who will pastor you, and who will preach God's word to you. What will you do for him? Well, let me give you one final P&A. Number one, you'll pray for him. You have been praying for him, I know that. You've been praying that he would know God's will. And he's been led here. Continue to pray for him. I always find it remarkable that the most effective communicator of kind of the word of God, the Apostle Paul, time and again, is requesting the people to pray for him. Pray for your pastor. And what's the other bit? There's P&A. Well, you'll attend. You'll be there. And if you put the two together, prayerfully attending, then you're going to know what it is to know God's will and to do God's will and to be blessed as you move forward with His kingdom good news in this place. That'll do for me for now. I'll see most of you again at the reception.
Thank you, gentlemen. There you go. Prayer and attending. Percolating. What was the other P&E?
Passive and
active. Passive and active. Okay. So, just a couple of things now. Dan is now a member, not of the Inverness Presbytery anymore. He's a member of the Skye and Western Ross Presbytery. And there's a roll of presbytery members, and Dan's name will now be added to that roll, that list of members. And After the service, we're just about finished now. After the service, please all make your way from Altby over to Pullew and the Pullew Hall. For those of you who don't maybe know where Pullew Hall is, if you come to Pullew and you've gone over the bridge over the river, you've gone just a bit too far. So turn around and come back, okay? The hall's on your left as you go along, sort of around the bay. There is a car park there, but we'll probably fill that up. Then park along the side of the road, I'm told, but make sure you're all on the same side. But the fitter among you can maybe park down by the church, if you know where that is, beside the river, Pullew Free Church. Park in there and walk up to the hall, and that'll mean that folk who maybe aren't so mobile can park closer. Okay? So that's what to do. Well, praise God. So much to be thankful for tonight, and I'm thrilled for you, and I think the presbytery is too, and all who love the Lord Jesus Christ and his cause. It's a beautiful evening. I hope we can all enjoy the reception now together, and the fun and the fellowship and the expressions of encouragement that will bring. We're going to sing in closing from Psalm 145. It's in the back of the sheet. 145, starting with God's character, which is the basis of the whole universe and the gospel and everything. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger, rich in steadfast love. All you have made will praise you, and he will provide. He opens his eyes, his hands. When we open our raise our eyes expectantly to him, he opens his hand and supplies all our needs. Let's sing then from Psalm 145. I'll stand to sing.
Oh,
close with a benediction. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with each one of you, with Dan and Penny and with Fox and Ace, with the congregation here, the body of Christ in this area, and with the community here as well, now and forevermore. Amen.